Hi, good morning. It's late. Well, let's begin. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We want to have Aaron Konis here. We want to wish him a hearty Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
On the wedding of his daughter. It's a beautiful wedding Wednesday night. And you should have only Nachas, Bracha, Simcha, and one Simcha shall lead to the next. Okay, by everyone.
Mazel Tov.
By everyone. Okay, let's start over here. We are at the end of this Mizmar. We're finishing over here. We're up to Pasuk Tikvas, Pasuk page 80. We're up to Pasuk Yutes. Ki lo lenetzach yishochach evyon. It will not be forever that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forget the evyon. Tikvas aniyim, or the way that it is written. See here, if you notice, there's a switcheroo. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Over here, the Kri, the way we pronounce it is Aniyim, the hope of the poor, Toivad, Lo'ad, will be lost. It will not be forgotten forever. The hope of the poor, the word of Loi, is going back on the end, is going also on the end of the Pasuk. Let's read the Mitzvah 7 for some more clarity. Again, it's on Pasuk, page 80, or Mizmar Tes, page 80. And this is Pasuk Yates, and let's see the Mitzvah 7 on the bottom of page 80. It will not be forever. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nature is silence. That was the daf yesterday.
Where is this?
Page 80. Right now I'm on page 80. On the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos Tavit. On the bottom of the page. Mitzudos Tavit. Pasuk Yotes. Hashem is made this to be silent. Yesterday's daf, it says, to you Hashem, silence is praise, which simply means that when a person is silent, but I'm not sure that's the Pasha, but one of the perushim of that expression is that Hashem, we praise Hashem by acknowledging that Hashem has the ability to be quiet. Hashem, that is a power. It's not a chesaron to be silent. Many times silence is a virtue. And this is a praise of Hashem, and likewise in world history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates on His timeline. And just because there are sinners and we do not witness their punishment, it does not mean anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately punish and reward every person. Hashem will ultimately punish the nations of the world for their crimes. Toivad lo'ad, milas lo. So this is what I explained to you. You have to repeat words. Two principles of reading Pesukim in Nach. Number one, you have to repeat. Very often you must repeat words. You must repeat expressions to make sense of the Pasuk. And rule number two is, you don't necessarily read the words in order. Many times you have to read the words out of order. So here we're applying principle number one. You have to repeat a word. Lo. Loi. Read the word. Ki loi lo netzach yishochach evyoin. And again, Ki loy lo netzach tikvas aniyim, or you see the word lo'ad is here for us, but tikvas aniyim loy toivad lo'ad. Okay, so let's just repeat the word loy. The word loy in the beginning of the pasuk must be padded into the word right before you say toivad lo'ad. Loy toivad lo'ad. It's always a basic rule, repeat words. Okay, it will not be lost for him. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, oh, Pasuk. Yeah.
He has to say that because otherwise you might.
Does the opposite. Otherwise it would appear that the hope of the poor is lost forever. And that's apocrysis. That makes no sense. Right? It doesn't even make any sense. Okay, but it's self understood. This is a style of writing. This is a style that if you only read English, and you're not going to appreciate that this is a style of writing. Let's see the Rashi, short Rashi. Ki loy lo netzach yishochach Yisrael ho evyoin. Rashi edzin, who is the evyoin? Rashi is called...
In the translation here, it gets around it by using the word neither.
What do you mean neither? He
doesn't repeat the word lo. In the translation. He said neither.
Neither,
this will
I see.
Not happen, and neither will the other thing.
Okay. So. Now let's look at what it says in the Pasuk Yutes. Rashi. That is very important. Rashi. Rashi. Ki lo lenetzach yishochach Yisrael ho evyoin milifkoid aleihem ma from Hashem will not forever forget the Evyon. Who is the Evyon? The Evyon is the Jewish people. And Hashem will not forget to remember milifkoid alehem ma sheshibdu boy, to visit upon them or to remember them what Hashem has committed himself. The word sheshibdu means a commitment. Hashem has committed himself to come to their assistance. V'sikvas aniyim loy. You see, Rashi does exactly the same thing. He adds the word loy into the words. Loy soiva lo'ad, this poetic repetition. And the basic two parts of the pasuk are saying the same thing. What is very interesting, according to Rashi, who translates the word evyon as the Jewish people, they're an evyon. There are two things which come to mind. Number one, we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz. It's one of my favorite psukim. Because this pasuk is a thorough rejection of, I don't know all the economic systems in the world. I know almost nothing but economics, even though my father had a PhD in economics and was one of the lead experts in his field in economics for many years, but I don't know even the alif base. I didn't even take an undergrad course in Brooklyn College. I don't even take one course in economics. Never understood one word.
Should've gone to YU.
Take my father. Maybe I should.
Two of my sons had your father.
Okay, so what does it say over here? We used to talk economics shop. My mother always said to my father, if you're such a good economist, how come you're not rich? Where you should understand how to capitalize on the money, you know, to conquer the market. In any event, why does that pasuk very appealing to me? Because that pasuk is a rejection of communism, socialism, and many other isms, which their primary goal is, we know it's sheker, is no one should be poor. In a society, what is communism? Every single person in the country is accounted for. There's not going to be anyone coming around by davening to collect. No such thing. That's really the goal of socialism, communism. You have a society where you redistribute the wealth. You redistribute the wealth, and therefore it will never happen that there will be a poor person in this world. Isn't that what it's all about? In Russia, in theory, in the heyday, they would give people tests to determine where they would do well, what kind of job they should have, and they would force them. This is the job that you're going to have for the rest of your life, and v'chulu, and that way we're going to have a society of economic prosperity. And yet the shelves are empty in Russia. People live in dire poverty, and instead of the goal of no one should be poor, everyone is poor.
They're all equal.
Everyone is poor. That's right. They're all equal. It has been proven again and again and again that these systems of economics are thoroughly corrupt, and very unsuccessful. The only thing that has really succeeded in the world history, and this is a fact, is a capitalist society. Capitalism.
Well, Marcus talks about it. Believes in the trickle down theory.
Okay, that trickle down theory, I think, is a little bit.
But that's basically what they talk about, that the rich people have to spend their money. You have to make sure they spend their money.
Economics. And my father, he spent a lot of time in analyzing Chazal and analyzing the Torah to prove that the Torah and Chazal promoted a capitalist society, and had a very strong distaste for these other isms, socialism, communism, which feign, they make believe that you're trying to create a world where no one is poor. The Torah says explicitly, ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev haaretz. Don't even try. The Torah is eternal. It's the DNA of this world. Hashem made a world where there will be evyoinim, whether we like it or not. There will be evyoinim. That's the way the world is. And it's very sad. It's a reality of this world. Kilo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz, and we have to deal with that. And the way we deal with that is chesed, to help them, to give them tzedakah, to try to get them jobs, v'chulu. But don't create a system where you believe that this pasuk won't even exist. The metzias will not exist. making a system whose essence is that this pasuk in the Torah does not exist. There is no such thing as an Evyon.
But as you mentioned, Klal Yisrael is also...
Okay, so that's what I'm getting to. So okay. I just told you the pshat. Now I want to tell you a drush. And the drush is that over here in this pasuk, Rashi, it says explicitly that the word Evyon is a reference to the Jewish people. And what it means is the world will never be absent of the drush. Ki lo yechtal Evyon mikarev haaretz. The Jewish people are always the underdogs. They're always the Evyon. In a good way and a bad way.
We have a prayer
because Ulai Rachem Ulai Rachem. Rachem. Un Ulai Rachem Am on a nation that's Oni Ve'evyon. Ulai Yerachem. This pasuk is saying that pasuk Kilo Yechtal Evyon Mikem. When you combine that pasuk in the Torah with what it says over here in this pasuk, it is a bracha. And it's saying that the Jew will never cease to exist. Am Yisrael Chai. Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. It will never happen. The Jewish people will cease to exist. The pasuk says, Ki Lo Yechtal Evyon Mikarev Aretz. Who is the Evyon? Look in Tilim. In Tilim and Mizmar test, the Evyon is the Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. Now that's not, and also it all depends how you understand the word Evyon. Evyon, we know that on Purim, there is a mitzvah of Zmatonois Lo Evyonim. And everyone asks the question, why Lo Evyonim, not Lo Aniyim, to the poor? What is the chilek? In this pasuk, we have both together. We'll discuss it in one moment. We have an Evyon and an Ani. So there are many different approaches. It's not such an easy question, easy answer. But the simplest answer is an Ani at least has dignity. An Ani has something. He doesn't have enough. But he has something to get by. He has not fallen to the level where he has lost his dignity. He doesn't come to shul going around from person to person collecting with a piece of paper. In Evyoin has reached a level where he's to'ev lakol. Evyoin comes from the word to'ev. He has a yearning for, okay, I'm not sure the etymology, but it means he has a need for the most basic items, for bread, for water, for shelter. He has nothing. He is to'ev lakol.
Destitute.
So the Purim, the focus is not to give tzedakah lo aniyim. That is a mitzvah that we focus on the entire year. Purim is a zman of matonois lo evyoinim. Why? Because Purim, the Jewish people were reduced literally to evyoinim. The gzeira of lahashmid laharog ulaved is kol hayudim yanar yadzokin taf nashim biyamechad ushlolom lavois. Take away their money. Jews were reduced to zero, 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 zero. We were all in the gather of Evyoinim. And therefore, to acknowledge, every time on Purim you give money to an Evyon, realize that was you. That was you going back, the Jewish people going back in the time of the miracle of Purim, we were all in the gather of Evyoinim. Purim is not a time for Aniyim. It's a time to focus on the Evyoinim. Evyoinim, for some reason, society, there's the mitzvah of giving tzedakah to Aniyim. Aniyim, and then you don't really hear about Evyoinim. Evyoinim is interesting. I mean, obviously, every Evyoin is also an Ani. Or every Ani, I don't know, you know, this is very complicated. I don't have a grasp on it. But there are two different terms, and Chazal, we interchange all the same to us. Person who needs, what's the difference? But an Evyoin is a homeless person. He has literally zero. And Purim is a Zman to give focus, not just on the regular poor. The regular poor we focus on the whole year round. It's the focus on the Evyon and the homeless shelters. Mayor, he's a tzaddik, he used to go to Masbia. Every poor he would go to Masbia. I once went to visit him there I was amazed. On Coney Island, they have the Masbia soup kitchen, and the people who line up over there, it's very sad. The mamish beged their Evyonim. And Mayor, he would mamish spend his poor, Mayor Appledorf. You're there, Mayor. Mayor, I'm giving you a compliment. What happened to you? He would go
there, you would know it.
and it's a very, it's a very.
No, I'm only. Doesn't have to be mastered.
Chas v'shalom, lebedega hespeden. It's a whole different world when you see these type of people. You know, problem with Masbia is a very large percentage not even Jewish. That's the problem with Masbia. I don't know. There's no way to solve that problem. That's a very big problem to deal with. How do you, there's no mitzvah of giving tzedakah to, you know, it's a nice thing to give to the Red Cross. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not, obviously that's not what tzedakah, that's not what Purim is about. But, you know, you can't help that. And there are many Jews who are nene, and, you know, that's how it is. And there are many Jews who are nene who are together from Evyon, and it's a whole different world. So therefore, we were together Evyon. And there's also a positive twist to Evyon, and that means you don't look at it in the physical world. Look at it in the spiritual world. When a person recognizes that he's ta'ev, he yearns lakoil. You know, in Judaism, there are many different things that you want. You want to be able to daven. You want to be able to learn. You want to be able to do chesed. You want to be able, there are many different avenues to come close to Hashem. Many different types of services. They are all different, you know, roles. They're askanim. And there are, you know, people that do the mishtadel for the tzibur. There are people that learn. There are people that know how to daven. There are people that know how to do chesed. People know how to... Everyone has talents. Everyone has talents, and every talent can be used for kiddush shem shemayim. And when the person is yearning to do everything, he's ta'ev lakol, that is an expression of his neshama wanting to, you know, have the full experience in every person in his own life. And there are times in your life when you're very busy learning. There are times when you're busy teaching. There are times when you're busy doing chesed. There are times when you're busy fundraising. There are times when you're busy, you know, all different collecting tzedakah. They're all different tekufas in a person's life. And when a person has a yearning, he is to'ev lakoil for every different type of service, of serving Hashem, that makes a person into an evyon. But an evyon in a respectable, in a blessed way. So, ki lo yechtal evyon mikerev haaretz is a code pasuk that the Jewish people will always survive. Machol said, the Jewish people will always be around. Where are the Egyptians? Where they all go? Well, the country, Egypt today, that's the Egypt of the ancient times? I don't think so. No. Maybe that's the land, but the people there are running around without a head. That's not the country of Egypt. We are the Moab and all the ancient countries, all the ancient civilizations. They're gone. Well, today, the whole world has just morphed into one global village where no one knows they're coming, they're going. It's all the same. You look at the news, you read the news. It's all the same. All everything you could interchange one civilization with another because nothing. All the uniqueness is gone. The only one that is still in the Geder, Am Levodod Yishkoin, a nation that stands apart and is unique in their service, is Klal Yisrael. Orthodox Jews, and Klaish, Orthodox Jews especially. Okay, Am Levodod Yishkoin. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, Ki Lo Yechdal Evyoin Mikerev Haaretz. In addition to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, look at Rashi. Rashi says in this pasuk, who is the Evyoin? Ki Lo Lonetzach Yishochach Evyoin. It will never be forgotten from Hashem's consciousness. The Evyon. Who is the Evyon? The Jewish people, Yisrael. It will never be forgotten, the Tikvas Aniyim. We're also the poor. The Jewish people were also, because we, you know, Jewish people, they need quite a bit. We'll begin the Toivat, they will not be forgotten. The hope. Now, this is very interesting over here. When it comes to the Ani, here we go into Purim Torah. Now you can use this pasuk over here to go to Purim Torah of the pasuk here in indirect way, is defining the difference between an Evyon and an Ani. And I think there's a lot of powerful precision in this pasuk. Again, what is the difference between an Evyon and an Ani? It's very, very hard. The Gemara says an Evyon is destitute. An Ani is not. Okay, that's a generalization. Pasuk here is more precise. An Ani still has hope. An Ani has hope to turn his fortune around. He's poor, yeah?
What you said before about the Ani being somebody with whom we regularly give tzedakah, right? Who we help regularly.
You help Evyon also. You don't only help the Ani.
Yeah, but they're not as...
I think we're going to explain that. Let me finish this
story.
The
point of Purim is to bring everybody together.
Okay, that's one point.
Not neglect even the most... The one who you don't even... look at most of the time.
Okay, okay, I hear what you say. That's one dimension of Purim. But look at this. Look at this idea. An ani has hope. I can't pay the mortgage this month, but I'm going to get a better job. I'm on the verge of getting a better job. I'm going to be able to pay the rent next month. You have hope. And Evyon gave up. He gave up. He's in a homeless shelter, and the government is paying his bills, and it is what it is. He has no intent to ever go do anything to make a better life for himself. He just becomes dependent on the government. That's the end. That's the end. In Ani, right now, I got problems. But I have a tikva. Tikva. The tikvas Ani. When it comes to the Ani, we call him one who has hope. When it comes to the Evyon, there's no hope. Purim is matonois lo Evyonim. Because the Jewish people reached a state of destitution. There was no hope. Lahashmid laharagul adam. There was no hope. Zero. It was all over. It was the only ein lanu lihishoein ella al avinu shabashamayim. It was only because of lech kenois kol hayudim. Just because Esther was queen, she didn't do anything. She was there for a while. Nothing was happening over there. It was false hope. Lech kenois eskol hayudim. It was we were in a matzav where al pi derech hateva there was no hope, and we were all avyoinim in this respect as well. So this here, I think, is possibly megale asoid the chilik between the ani and the avyoin, and that is, have you given up or is there still hope? But let's go. Let's now over here. What's interesting?
There are two more expressions of poor people. Rash ledal.
Yeah.
Or rosh. Vilarosh ain call. Vilarosh ain call. Kiyim, what does it say? The Kiyim, his wife.
Dal
is someone who's the impoverished. You're right.
It's interesting when it says by carbon Olaviore, it uses the term Dal.
Vim Dal of Angel Mastagas. So how do you define those words? I don't know. Obviously it has to be understood. Four words. We're having over here now a total of four words. You reveal there's Oni Evyoin, Dal and Rosh. Rush, as in Rush Limbaugh. He was very rich, Rush Limbaugh. Phenomenally rich. He had the best cigars money can buy. Okay? I always say that joke, that I was in yeshiva. The first time I heard of Rush is I was in yeshiva and there was a very hush of a guy, a genius. This guy was a real genius, and he would come in like the early afternoon and he would say, you know what the Rush said? I know the Rush said this, the Rush said that, the Rush said that. And I didn't know from Rush Limbaugh. What did I know from? I thought in Chaim Berlin, this one Rosh, the Rosh HaYeshiva. And he was, in those days, he needs Refuah Shleima now, but in those days he was B'tokvai. He ran the place with an iron fist. Mamish, like an iron fist in those days. And the Rosh, everything was about the Rosh. He said Rosh, but I thought he was saying Rosh. What? What are you talking about? Clinton is talking about this. Like, what? What are you talking about? And then it took me some time to realize he was not talking about the Rosh. He was talking about the Rosh. Those were the days. Okay, let's go further. We have over here, let's see. So there's another point we have to make, and that is, look at over here, we are, the word aniyim, the poor, is synonymous with the word the humble. And actually, the way it is spelled, the way it is put on paper, on parchment, is anavim, the humble. But we don't read it anavim, we read it the poor, the aniyim. Obviously, a person who is poor is supposed to be humble because he has nothing to brag about. Now, notice the reversal. Notice, go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kidoresh Damim Oysam Zohar Loy Shochach Tzakas. Here, the way there, it's just the opposite. The way we read it is Anovim, and the way it is spelled, on paper, is the Aniyim. There, it's just the opposite. Okay, and you can't go say it's a spelling mistake and someone made a mistake over here. That's apikorsis. The Messiah is, obviously, there is a relationship between Kidoresh Domim verse The pasuk over here, ki lo lenesach yishachach evyon tegvas aniyim toival load. Just the very fact that these two words are reversed, obviously, is telling us to interchange these two psukim. And both psukim, if you look, think about it, have a very similar idea. They're both speaking about the Jews as being victims, and there are different ways to be a victim. Many ways to be victimized. Rahman Muslim. There's to be a victim of death, murder. Okay, elimination, genocide. And then there is where the person lives on. It's just discrimination. Discrimination. The person's alive, he lives a full life, but he is denied opportunity, denied his rights. But he's not murdered. Pasuk Yudimul, Hashem says, I don't forget about nothing. I don't forget about the cries, the blood. Ki dnei achicha tsoyakim alai or elai min ho adama, murder. And in this pasuk, Hashem, I got you. I hear you. I will seek out your revenge. I will seek out vengeance. I'll take care of you. I'm never going to forget. Ki doresh damim oisam, them, the victims, zochor. Hashem remembers them. Don't worry. I didn't forget. Lo yishachachi does not forget tzakas to cry anovin. In this pasuk, we're not discussing people who are dead, who have been reduced to blood, whose blood is absorbed into the ground. We're discussing people who are alive and live a miserable life because they have been discriminated against, they have been targeted, they've been abused. Here it says, ki lo lenetzach yishachach evyayin. Tikvas aniyim loy toivad loat. They're alive. And here I got you also. I didn't forget about you. I know what has happened, and ultimately I will take care of it. And here we reverse the fact that they have the same exact word, aniyim versus anovim, and in each one we reverse. It's obviously telling us that there is a relationship between these two psukim, and Hashem got you covered. He has you covered no matter what. No matter what kind of form of victimization you fit into, Hashem remembers you. And it's interesting when it comes to this expression, Pasuk Yutes, when you talk about a person who suffers, who suffers in this world as being a victim, but he lives, you would probably, which word would you? You have two different types of victims: a victim who is dead, is murdered, versus a victim who lives and suffers. What's worse? Well, no one knows what tells what happens in the other world. But you know, sometimes there are people that are so sick, you know, they would rather die. I mean, other men, it's not very to do that, but in some countries, you know, what's the word? Euthanasia. How do you pronounce it?
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia. Euthanasia.
It's nothing to do with youth or age. Euthanasia. They take their own lives because they cannot deal with the suffering.
Mercy
killing. A mercy where a person cannot deal with the suffering. The suffering is so intense. Now, which word? Yeah, I don't know the answer. You have to think about this. Between these two different types of victims, which word would you match with a victim of murder versus the victim who lives and suffers? We have two different types of victims. Which one would you match? We say use the word anovim. And which word would you say is the word aniyim, the poor? I would imagine, like what we do over here, the way that we actually read it. The person who is a victim, who lives in a state of suffering, is called an ani. He's an ani because an ani means you're alive. You're alive, and you're in the lowest level of society. The word ani refers to a social ladder, a social structure, a social environment, and there are people on the top, people on the bottom. The ani in every society in the world is always on the bottom. The word onov, okay, so it means humble, but the word anav, it's not describing the social ladder of society. is describing a type of person, a type of personality. It's describing the person who has been murdered. He's been reduced to nothing. What is an anav? Anav means anav on a very simple level means I don't think much of myself. Okay, that's not what it means. I mean, there's a lot deeper than that. But an anav means I'm a nobody. So the ultimate nobody is the person that is a nobody, who has been murdered, who no longer exists in this world. That's the we also oh, he's an anav. He walks around and he thinks himself as a nobody, but he's still walking around. he's still walking. He's still vertical. When you take the word anav to its extreme, I'm a nobody. You don't stand out. You don't try to go and promote yourself. The ultimate of not promoting yourself is you don't exist. You literally don't exist. When a person is a victim of murder, he's talking anav. He talking doesn't exist for real. So indeed, the psukim are accurate. They're accurate. When it comes over here to the pasuk of the describing person who suffers, who lives and so he's alive. He's not an anav because he's still walking around the streets. He does exist. However, he's in the lowest rung of society, he's an ani. But a person who has been murdered, he taka is an anav because he doesn't exist. No one cares about him and he's gone. He's completely gone. So, but the psukim wrote these terms in the reverse, in the wrong way it's spelled. And along came Chazal and they told us to read it the opposite way. So they're telling us, they're giving us a lesson that there's a chilik between an anav and an anav and an ani, and to understand the context of the psukim and understand that these two concepts are related. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an intertwining between these two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not forget about anyone. He does not forget about a person who has been a victim of murder. Okay, 6 million Jews have been murdered. Even more, they say all the new records indicate that it's closer to 7 million Jews. I heard that many times already. It's really 7 million Jews who have been murdered. They've discovered in these last 75 years so many things. So how did they even know what happened? There were no records those days, all this little shtetlach. They found these mass graves all over the place. So much more information has been revealed today. So he even knows about it. So Hashem doesn't forget. And then there are people who live and they suffer. They live and they suffer. Hashem doesn't forget about them either. There's no place in this world that is absent, that is void from Hashem's presence and Hashem's knowledge. And although Hashem, more often than not, is silent, be patient. Be patient. Mm-hmm. Hashem operates in a very different. All right, that was, I think, an important point to go to that idea. Now we come to Pasuk Chaf. Kuma Hashem. Now David concludes, rise up Hashem.
Kuma.
Correct. Melorah. Kuma Hashem al yo'iz enosh. Rise Hashem. Do not let man be arrogant. Oiz, Hashem, oiz li'am, oiz means might. It's Hashem has the might, not man. Let's move further. Yi shofetu goyim al panecha, may the nations, may they be judged in your presence. Al panecha, al, this is a very hard expression. Let's see what it says in the midst of this of Pasuk Chaf, on the bottom. Al yo'iz enosh, al yishazku humos. David here is saying something very powerful. Don't let the goyim get too powerful. Don't let Iran acquire nuclear weapons. Okay, this is a prayer. People who daven say to them every day, you say this over here, is if our enemies become too powerful, it changes the equation, it changes everything. Once Iran has nuclear weapons, the whole balance of power in the Mideast becomes complete, the whole world. Everything becomes different. That's the way the world works. Geopolitics. Understand how the world works. There are certain people that are players, and there are certain people that couldn't care less about because they have absolutely no influence. What are you going to do to us? You need us. We don't need you. What do you mean? We'll nuke you in 1 second. Oh, Cold War. The whole world, the Cold War, the Cold War never really ended. Why? It just expanded to other countries. Russia collapsed because they couldn't keep up with the spending of the United States. But the other countries kept up. In fact, they outdid the United States. China by now is already getting to a point where they have just as many nukes, just as many nukes and sophisticated weapons as the United States.
Not even the nukes.
What? It's not the nukes. It's the money.
It's
what?
It's certain kinds of technology.
Technology. The hyper, what's called hypersonic there.
Yeah.
And they have a lot, they say they're
mess with our GPS like crazy.
And they have incredible, they can hack into any, and they can hack right into this room over here. They can turn off the lights here, and anyone, that's what they say they have technology that's beyond belief. And the United States is verschluffen. They're not keeping up with...
The country itself is in big trouble.
Money, economy. The technology, they're doing very good. They're doing very good technology.
Of course, they had this one
job. Okay, whatever it is, geopolitics. Geopolitics, and over here, this puzzle over here is giving you a crash course. A crash course in geopolitics, and it says over here, you can take a whole course, get a PhD in geopolitics, and it's summarized by David in one pasuk. One expression. Hashem, kumo Hashem, al yo'oiz enosh. Don't let these lowly people, enosh always connotes lowliness, people who are cockroaches, enosh, come from the earth, do not let them get too powerful. If they get too powerful, they might actually use their weapons. Okay? They might actually push the button. Scary stuff. And instead, yishafetu goyim al panecha. This is a very powerful principle. This is extremely powerful. Accountability. Accountability. You live in a world where there's no accountability, then the world is over. The nations have to be judged. There has to be in the world accountability. When you do something bad, you get punished. There cannot exist such a mitzvah of no accountability. This opens up for churban, incredible churban. These are two major, major principles that David HaMelech understood a lot better than many heads of state in this world today. Two principles. Don't let a nation get too powerful. A nation that is irresponsible should not acquire weapons of mass destruction. And number two, the law has to be laid out clear as day. There are consequences for your actions. You do something, you will be punished. There has to be these two principles. He summarizes what many people in the Pentagon and many people in the White House have no clue. This and you can trust David more than you can trust some of these people. This is what it says. Pasuk Mitzutas David Lisa, in my worthless opinion. I'm reading what he says over here. Pasachov, Al Yoiz Enosh, Al Yishasku, Moist Al Ponecha, Ritzur Lema, Be'ez Ka'ascha, when you get angry, Hashem, you have to go and exercise Mishpat. Rashi, Pasachov, Kuma Hashem, Dovidoch Yemispalo, listen, Echo, the struggle is a prayer. Shayakum, he should rise up. Vi Maher Lassai Zot, he should do this swiftly. Al Yoiz Enosh, Al Yoiz Esav, Lo'orech Yamim, Big Du Lassai.
Okay.
Whew!
There's
censor.
There's something very interesting about this.
Yeah.
Now, in Judaic Press Edition, it says, Al Ya'oz Rosha. Okay? That's one version. And he points out that in some manuscripts it reads Asa.
Okay.
And another edition says Amalek.
Ooh.
So, that suggests
censorship.
Yeah.
Cancellation. Okay? Nothing new. Cancellation, censorship has been the name of the game since day one. You know, you have a whole new appreciation now of censorship and cancellation. And our generation, they really appreciate, try to control people through censorship. It never works. Don't tell people what to do. Never works. Al yo'iz enosh, al yo'iz esav lo'arich yamim.
But it causes a lot of damage.
A lot of damage. Ultimately, it's like capitalism. Let people, ultimately,
change,
the truth.
I'm
truth.
Change the translation here to say, do not empower whoever, fill in the blank.
Don't give them, don't put into their hands weapons of mass destruction.
We talk about
empowerment. Oh, okay. Do not empower people who are wicked. Now, who is the person over here? So there, I'm saying something very, very fascinating. What did Rashi write originally? Did he write Amalek? Did he write Esav? Did he write Russia? I'm willing to bet that he wrote originally Esav. And the censors didn't like Esav, so some censors changed it to Amalek. Who cares about Amalek?
They don't know.
They don't even know. And then others who do know what Amalek is, so they wrote Russia. Russia. But really what it says is Esav.
That's
Esav. So over here, you know, if you go look at this, see, we live in the United States of America, and we view the United States to be, you know, our friend, the Hulu, the Hulu. You know, and we're very much indebted to them for an enormous amount of support and kindness that they have shown the Jewish people, the state of Israel. And America is a country that we have to understand. We always talk about this, is not like any country in history. There's a constitution, there's a Bill of Rights, I first came to appreciate this much more lately, watching some of the activities of the Aguda, and the attitude is a very fascinating attitude of to understand what America is. We look in the Gemara, we read the Gemara, and we imagine that we're still living back in Poland, in Europe.
That's the problem.
By learning the Daf Gemara, you think that America is just, another Poland, another Europe. Another Russia. You don't understand that. That's not America. America is a unique experiment in world history, which is a very different set of rules. And the Aguda very much understands that. And they very much understand the entitlement. And I don't mean that in a bad way. The word entitlement is a dirty word today because a lot of people are taking.
Lost the sound.
Oops.
Lost the sound.
Okay, back in business. Okay, it's a whole different league. It's a whole different world today, here in this country, and so we feel very comfortable here, and we feel adraba. The more nukes America has, the better. The more they can throw around their weight and tell people what to do, for good. But yet, if America becomes corrupt, and they throw around their weight in the wrong way. Then that power can be an enormous churban for us and for the world. And if you want to read very deeply into what this pasuk is saying, if you want to say this pasuk is a prophecy for Yemos HaMashiach, and we think today that Edom is our savior, Western civilization, and
not Europe,
but we think that America is our savior, and for the last 75 years it's been pretty good, not 100%, and during World War II they didn't do very much for us, so let's not go into all the details, but many people are very comfortable.
But we've come a long way.
Many people are very comfortable. David, if you want to learn that this pasuk is a prophecy, David is telling his Klal Yisrael, don't get so comfortable. Don't hope that America should become, or Edom should become too powerful, because it might backfire on you. If they have too much power, too much influence, they'll do things that are in their best interest. They will not be in your best interest. If they don't have all that much power, if their power is limited, they may say to the Jewish people, "Do what you need to do, and we'll watch, because we don't have that. We don't have the power anyway." So, if you want to learn very deeply, this is a prophecy. Rashi over here is saying is, even when Esav is on your side, be very careful. You should pray that it shouldn't get too powerful. Because when they get too powerful, you don't know how that's going to play out for you. They should not be too powerful forever in their greatness, in their supremacy. Al panecha. Bishvil, and then the pasuk includes Yishavtu goyim al panecha bishvil hakas shehich isucha.
No, but the model fits better.
Yeah.
Europe pre-war Europe, that fits better though.
What do you mean?
I mean, Jews thought they were accepted. Countries.
They fought in wars.
And then Germany got powerful. The Shel Edom. Powerful,
and they turn against us. So you see the pattern. You see, so we're saying it's correct. It's a very dangerous pattern.
We haven't reached that point here yet. But
wasn't that as powerful as we were 20 years ago?
True.
Yishavtu
al panecha b'shvil hakas shehich isucha b'mikdoshecha. So Rashi over here says, something very important. He's saying, okay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it out for Edom because they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's very interesting that their psukim, we learned this a couple of times, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very special hatred for Bavel. A very unique flavor of hatred because they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Even though it's our sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilirai, Shvich HaStamim, it could have been destroyed by other nations. They took advantage of the situation and we had to be punished, and they took it upon themselves to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That was a revelation of a very intense evil that these people possess. And the Pesukim say over and over again that Hashem really has it in for these people. You notice Iraq, ancient Babel, and part of Iran, it's a churban there. So it's quicksand. No one there can do anything to solve any problems there. It's just, you know, every day you hear the news, how many people die every day from suicide bombings. It's a churban sheba churban, this place.
I don't know if you read my post, but...
I didn't read the post.
No one reacted to it, but I wrote about the water shortage in Iran.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. All over the world, there are problems like that. And here, likewise, whatever you say about Babel, ditto for Rome, who destroyed the Bayi Sheni. Rome, what's their business? Destroying the Bayi, what's your business? Destroy the Bayi Sheni. Hashem has an in for them because they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What is it your business to destroy Hashem's Mokom on this world? Hashem was Mashre Hishchina on this world. What is it your business to destroy Hashem's Mokom? Even though the Jewish people have need Musa, Senas Chinam, it doesn't matter. It's not for you to take up, to enter into the arena and get involved. Leave it to Hashem. Al Panecha Beshvil Hakas, because of the anger, Shehich Isucha, that they provoked you, b'mikto Hashecha, in your holy place, referring to the day Samnet that they destroyed. So let's go to the next pasuk. Ezir Lekut Yishas, that we did not do. Did we do this yesterday? We did this yesterday. We did it already. Good. We're done. Next pasuk. Let's finish up. Pasuk of Shisa Hashem Moira Lohem. The word Shisa means to set. To set is to put. Hashem. May Hashem put upon them. May Hashem put upon them Moira. Fear. Lohem Yedu Goyim. Enoish Hema Sel. Let's see the Mitzudas David. Pasuk of Aleph. The Mitzudas David here says, Chafal Shisa Tosim Lohem Hashlacha Vahashpala. May Hashem put upon them stumbling and may they collapse. Okay, no, so he's translating the word Moira. I translate as fear. That's normally with an aleph. Moira normally has an aleph, but over here it's the word. We have to say it's a hard word to translate. Moira over here he translates here as hashlocha, kimoi, yoro vayom. Hashem threw the Egyptians into the sea. So she saw Hashem Moira. May Hashem bring upon them a collapse. Bring upon them a collapse. What, a collapse of the entire society? Okay, next. Yedu Goyim, the Goyim should know, Enosh Hema, they're nothing. They're just people that come from the earth. Yedu, one more time, the words of the Mitzvah, the Pasuk of Aleph, Shisa, Tasim Lochem, Hashlocha, and Hashlocha. The word Moira is Miloshon, Yoro Vayom. May Hashem bring upon them a collapse. Leman.
It means to hurl, to shoot, to throw.
No. They should become lowly. Their economy should collapse. Their security should collapse. The FDIC should no longer should bank stuff. The word hashloch, the word moira means to collapse. Hashem threw down yora. It's a different form of the word. Yora vaya means Hashem threw them down. The focus of the word is to go down.
And here it's translated as fear.
Okay, I told you, that's another parish. That's not what, we'll do that in a second. Because the word, the difficulty with that interpretation, because the Moira ordinarily has an aleph, not a hey. Therefore, the Mitzudas David, it says the precise translation of the word Moira, is Miloshon Yoro Vayom, to throw down in the sea. No, not to throw, down. The key word is down. And in the context of Shiras Moshe, Sus v'roichvo, the horse and his rider, Yoro vayom, Hashem threw down.
Ramah
vayom. Here it says, Kamo Yoro, Kamo Yoro vayom. Sus v'roichvo.
Right.
Okay. Look at what it says in the Mitzvot David. Tosim lohem, bring upon them hashlocha. Hashlocha means a downward movement. The hashvala, to be lowly people. Okay. They should collapse. They should be collapsed. Leman yedu shehem oli olam enosh v'lo ikel. They should know they're nobodies. What did Lavan say to Yaakov? Yesh le'el yodi. I am powerful. Wasn't that yesterday's daf? Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yaakov Kel, Vayikri loy Kel Elokei Yisrael. The Gemara says the way you read the pasuk is backwards. Vayikri loy Elokei Yisrael liYaakov Kel. Hashem called Yaakov, Yaakov, you are a Kel. You are a power and authority. Lavan said, Yesh le'el yodi. Aha, I'm the boss in town. El means power. And these people, they think they're God. Hashem should go and show these people, you're nobodies. You're cockroaches. You're an enosh. Toshiv le'enosh daka. Man shall return to the earth, to his nothingness, to his dust. He says nothing. These people, they have to be humbled. The ultimate goal over here is the people should be humbled to realize they're nobody. Now, look at Rashi. Rashi disagrees thoroughly with the Mitzvot David. Okay? Rashi is saying what Mr. Elman said. The word moira means fear. Yira. This week's parasha is all about Yira Shemayim. This week's parasha. Fear. Okay? Shisa Hashem moira. Hashem should put in them some fear of God. This week's parasha, Hayarei Dvar Elokim, those people who feared God, Heinis Es Avadav, they Hashem, those who fear the Hashem, they took their animals and their servants, they brought them indoors not to be smitten by the Barod. And those who did not fear Hashem, they couldn't care less. They left the things outside, they were all destroyed. So the word Moira, even though it's spelled with a He, which is not the usual way you would spell the word Moira, Moira is Loshon Yira, which is an Aleph, is used here in an unusual way, at least according to Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should instill in the hearts of the Goyim, the Gentiles, some fear. Moira lohem, yedu goyim, and they shall know, yedu goyim, eno shema, they're nothing. And this pasuk is an amazing pasuk, because what we know what this pasuk is doing, in essence, it's defining what does it mean to be Yira Shemayim. Well, I shouldn't say that. Let's explain it like this. There are two types of Yira Shemayim. Yira Shemayim in its total form is to acknowledge who is Hashem and who are you, and to understand the gap between you. Hashem is infinite, he's beyond, beyond, beyond. And we are nothings. So that's two statements. We're nothings, we are nothing, and Hashem is everything. Not everyone has the ability to comprehend both elements. You have to sometimes give more focus to one over the other. Klal Yisrael, their focus is to know the greatness of Hashem. The law is Anoshim Chachamim Yirei Hashem by the Sanhedrin. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, find people who are Yirei Elokim. Okay, it says, I don't know the exact words off the tip of my tongue, there are certain words we are, but the focus for Klal Yisrael is to be Yirei Elokim. The Goyim, you can't expect that from them. When the Goyim have to know that there's a God, they're not on the level to appreciate Yira Shemayim by focusing on the positive. Their mission in Yira Shemayim is to focus on the other spectrum, that they're nothing. Because they don't have the ability to fully comprehend who is Hashem. Klal Yisrael is given the gift of a neshama, elokaimi, a special neshama. They have the ability to approach the topic of Yira Shemayim by understanding Hashem. And when you're afraid of Hashem, mimela, everything falls into place. The Goyim don't have that ability. Therefore, what they should focus on is the frailty and the nothingness of man relative to Hashem. And that's what it says about Shis Hashem Moir Elohim. What is the method, the technique of Yira Shemayim by a Gentile? And the answer is not the godless of Hashem. They're not shaykh to that. What, they can learn a Daf Gemara, they can learn Chumash, they can become, you know, they don't have the tools that we have. Instead, they should focus on Yedu Goyim Enoy Shema. They're just mortals. They're just nothings. That's the technique for them. Sela, either Sela means forever, or Sela means...
Then Mora makes more sense. Mora means Hora'ah.
Instruction. They should know. So you're saying another... Okay, so you're saying another idea. You're saying that the word Mora means... You're saying a third idea. You're saying the word Mora, Lashon of Hora. The word Torah. Torah means instruction. Okay, that's a different idea. That's the third idea.
Mastery.
Okay. Give them knowledge, instructions, knowledge, mastery. Okay, different ideas of the mind, and instructions. Okay, that's the third idea. But the Rashi is working with at this moment is fear. Moira is milashon of yira, fear. Look at Rashi. Morus v'ol, authority. Morus means the master. Authority v'ol and a yoke. You're a servant. There's a master. There's a yoke upon you. There's authority. Dover acher. Then Rashi quotes from the idea that was presented by the Mitzvah Stavi. Dover acher. Moira loshon hashlocha. Loshon yoro vayom. To throw into the sea. V'yesh oimrim. Some say moira loshon tar. A razor. So what would it mean then? It would mean shisa shem moira lohem. I don't know. I really don't know what this means. I'm looking at them. I don't know. I don't understand what he's saying. Let's see. Look at Radha.
Yeah. First of all, it's bracketed.
It's what?
So it's bracketed.
I know, but still, but
it does not appear in any manuscript.
Of what means a tar, a razor.
Yeah. To cut down.
He uses it in that passage.
Oh, put upon them a sword. So she Hashem, but put upon them a razor, meaning the fear of death. Put upon them a sharp weapon. Miloshen tak. Put upon them. So what means shisa? Shisa means to set upon them the fear of being obliterated. Loshen of a sharp weapon. Let's see. Let's just look over here. What it says over here in the Malbum. The Malbum of the Zrabim attached to it over here. Shisa Hashem Moralohem Shetoshis Visochin Hashem Baatzma Yem Moralohem. That the Hashem should be the source of fear. Okay, he's looking over here. Pshat in the pasuk is Rashi fear. The Radak says shisa milera. Okay, shisa milera. Moira behei kmo ba'alef. Oimer shi'aseh luchem sheyiru'u. Okay, so he says it means fear, and he acknowledges that we got a problem because the word fear should be spelled with an aleph, not with a hey. It's okay, he says. The Edu ki heim enoish. It's all he said. He's not giving us another interpretation. Okay, fine. So we have over here three different, basically three. You have a column that's saying another idea. He's saying that it means instructions. Give them instructions to know. Teach them. Give them a crash course in knowing that they're only humans. All right. This already concludes. We have to stop over here. We're going to go next Monday. We're going to go Mizmar Yud. Unfortunately, as we always, I always like to make believe that I know something. There's a lot more to do over here, and this is Mizmar, but we have to move on. A lot of very beautiful things, which unfortunately we're not going to get to, because we must move on. But the basic gist of this Mizmar was done. We had Labain. This was the Mizmar Labain, and basically it was a prayer of our to that Hashem should wipe out our enemies, the Goyim, the Gentiles who are trying to bring upon us harm. We'll take now a very short break, and then we will continue with some chumash. Mayor, how are you feeling?
Said he's got a headache.
You got a headache?
Yeah.
He's got a headache. Yeah. I have a sore throat. Time for me to swallow.
He's home alone talking to himself. He got a headache.
It's hard to swallow?
And my nose is rubbing like an Olympic sprinter.
Do you have a cold?
Like a fire hydrant?
Not just you, Aaron. Hope you don't want to cold.
Yeah.
How's Tamari doing?
So far, so good. Bar-ha-ha. I haven't seen him.
I don't know.
How many people there in this room?
22.
I'm going to live my life.
A few people.
22 people.
Oh, now 22 people.
How many people in this year?
22.
No, five, six people.
That's it?
That's it.
He's dead. Oh, yeah. I mean, on the computer, right?
Yeah,
I
still
recording
this.
Only wear a mask if you're nasty.
Oh, yeah, that was good. All these things that are popping up.
Oh, Jason Blasio's last day.
Well, so the post headline?
No, it's
end of an error?
End of an
error.
Two errors. You made the error twice. He gave an interview. He says that the city is better off than when he took over.
He doesn't have a clue.
Sounds just like Biden.
Right. He's like in a world of his own. He's like,
because everyone around him is bringing him
or he just flat out lies, like, you know. That,
if
like,
you have yes men telling you everything is good, that's all you know. Everything is. And I told my wife this, they said, we had two viruses. One was COVID, and one was the Blasio.
And his wife. What happened to them? $1 billion in the
Thrive New York City. Now he's saying about homeless, that we have to do something about the mental
health. Or have to Thrive New York City, that's supposed to solve it.
Nonsense.
Now,
you can't solve the homeless and the mentally unless you can lock them up.
Put them in a place.
Put them in an institution
or whatever.
And control them.
Right.
That means they have to check. And if they want to go out, they have to check to make sure to take medicine in the morning. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
Now, the Attorney General, she right away said she ran on the fact that she's going to investigate Trump. She didn't know of any crime. But we're going to look for a crime. Why isn't she investigating Mrs. De Blasio?
Because
of skin color.
All politics are nonsense. That's what's going on in the whole world. I just spoke to somebody. He said AOC and the whole squad, she's going to run against you. She may be you.
But why do these people, I mean, we know some crazy people that are going to be elected.
Because district is probably a very liberal. Liberal or minority, and so on. If the city is going to be like, she's going to end up being too much, she's going to take